Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
I am not hugely a huge fan of Sally Rooney as a writer. I'm not really into her type of writing.
The normal
Rooney.
People?
Yeah. But as a human being, phenomenal person.
Is she?
That girl has probably one of the biggest book deals in the world. Like, she is making millions from her books. She is 10 toes down with Palestine. She has not faltered once. She's writing pieces in The Guardian being like, Israel are committing a genocide in big capital letters. And she's not in any way being like, I'm afraid of losing my book deals. I'm afraid of losing money. I'm afraid of losing the fact that my television programs can be made in the United States of America. She does not give a fuck. And I just think it's really admirable because people with a lot to lose tend to shut the fuck up. And she does have a lot to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's her cash cow. But she's literally like, everybody can go fuck themselves.
Wow.
Like, she's incredible. And I just say, I'm not into her writing. It's not my thing. It's not something I'm interested in. But I understand that she is a good writer. Like, what she writes is interesting and good. Like, I mean, I watched that Unreal People show and I was like, I'm so stressed. Can you have a conversation? Like, that's all it was for me the entire, like, 10 episodes of that show. I thought we broke up. We didn't break up, yeah. Marianne.
Yeah.
What? How do you not know? What is this? Friends?
Yeah. No, like, there was, like, I do get, like, the right...
There was parts of it where I was like, ah, here now.
But I also think that me and you... There are... I know when we were talking about it, I was like, I know men like that. And you were like, this doesn't exist. And I was like, oh, I know men that
would
be like...
How would you think you broke up with somebody?
I know, just people, but they're...
You're like, we're breaking up.
I think Conor might be autistic, like, do you know what I mean?
The whole fucking cast is.
But
yeah, like, just that...
Yeah, no, I mean,
I watched the entire show.
So did I. I wanted to hit me.
Donkey punched me into the back of the head, Connell.
Hit me. I could never do that, Marianne. See,
that's here where he grabs his penis. Like, oh, no, no.
I could never do that, Marianne.
His penis, his balls went into his stomach when she said that.
Yeah. I could never.
I only like playing GA.
Yeah. I could never hit you, Marianne.
I love my mammy and I like football.
I could never. Plus, we're in a fucking... Like a box bedroom.
A box bedroom.
In a single bed.
In my ma's gap.
Yeah.
She's downstairs right now.
Hit me in the back of the head.
Punch me into the back of the head.
Sorry. There'll be no witnesses to this.
Marianne.
Yeah. I could never...
Catch on to you.
I love you too much,
No one's in the entire show. Catch on to yourself.
Catch on to yourself, Marianne.
I'm so ugly. Oh my God, I've never... I just don't... Yeah. I'm so hideous.
Oh, Connell. Marianne.
The entire show.
Marianne.
If you haven't watched this show, we just told you the entire show.
Oh, I could never. And then they get together and they love each other and it's like, we have to be apart.
We can't be together.
So we can be the people who we want to be.
And she's like, I went to college and I got really sexy.
Yeah. You look the exact
same. And she's like, I'm wearing a little scarf and some eyeliner.
Look the exact same.
Like, it was awesome. They didn't even have glasses to take off her. They just took her hair down and put her in a pair of bootcut jeans and sent her to Trinity.
Take your glass off. Oh, you're so sexy now.
You're so beautiful.
What was that movie?
I can't believe she's all that.
I was in love with Freddie
Girl,
Prince
I
Jr.
wish that was real. I wish when I took my glasses off, I was like... Do you know what I mean?
Like cherubs behind you.
Like, oh my God. She's clearly a very different person. Yeah, he was very cute. He's married to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I know,
right?
And they love each other.
And he writes for wrestling.
I know.
Which is wild. Billy Corgan writes for wrestling.
I know.
And then I found out recently, and Colin didn't know this, which I was quite shocked by, Bob Mould from Husker Du writes for wrestling.
Don't know who that is.
Husker Du?
No.
The band. Anyway, so he writes for wrestling. It's like so many fucking people write for wrestling.
Vince
McMahon.
Ari, your pictures.
That man. And now his wife is like calling AI A1.
His wife is fucking...
Can't read.
Yeah, but she's Secretary of...
Education. The bitch is illiterate.
Yeah.
She kept calling
A1.
This A1's very useful. Honey. Go to sleep.
Go.
What's her name? Not Janine. For some reason, I was like, her name's Janine McMahon. That's not
something
correct.
Something McMahon.
What's her name?
Stephanie.
That's the daughter. Seems quite normal. I say that now, and then in 2 weeks, it's going to be like, Stephanie McMahon.
Shane.
Broke into various houses and murdered people's dogs. Shane was always like, you could tell.
He's desperate to be his dad.
You could tell his dad cared about the wrestlers more than he cared about Shane. And then Shane would do crazy stuff. Like, he would do insane shit, like stunts.
I know.
And I was like, well, he's going to fucking kill himself.
And his dad didn't care.
No, his dad didn't give a fuck. But because his dad didn't give a fuck.
The fuck, his name is Miss McMahon. I just know her as Miss McMahon. Linda.
Linda. Linda McMahon.
Linda McMahon.
Yeah, she's like the fucking...
You know the McMahons from down the road.
I went to school with McMahons.
Oh Jesus, they're only dirty bastards.
When they say man, they're like Vince McMahon. I'm like, it's man. We say man.
Because it is. Not we say.
Graham is the other one that bothers me.
Oh, when I'm in America with Graham.
Graham.
I used to be like, are we Graham? Graham.
I didn't know for years that Graham Parsons was Graham Parsons.
I just thought it was spelled G-R-A-M.
I just thought his name was Graham.
Yeah.
Like Graham Cracker is a Graham Cracker.
Mm.
I no concept of this until I read.
First time me and Graham went to the States, he was like, why do people keep calling me? So I said, apparently there's no H in your name.
Apparently there's no H in your name. They don't have to pronounce it. Graham.
Graham. Graham. Graham Laddie.
Is your tea okay?
My tea is beautiful. Would anybody like to hear me have a slurp?
Have a little slurp, slurp, slurp. we have a lot to talk about, but also...
We saw each other on Saturday, so we've not to talk about.
No, I mean in the world.
But yeah, but I talked about it on Saturday. We on my sofa. I don't want to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything is terrible, and I'm like, I don't.
Anyway, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. We're back. We were here actually. We haven't been anywhere. No, I was in London.
She was in London having a great time.
Nine Inch Nails.
Her and Kelly were having the time of their bleeding lives.
Flicking the bean off ourselves. To Trent Reznor.
I fully believe you were.
That's also something I do, by the way.
If you were in the bed pulling yourself asunder, which is honestly my favourite way of describing someone having a wank.
Pulling yourself asunder. I was not. I would just like to stay for the record.
You were like,
I did not masturbate next to Kelly in the bed.
Through your fingers.
I went into the bathroom and did it.
Shower on high.
And no, we had so much fun in London.
Yeah, it looked like so much fun.
And the show was amazing. That Nine Inch Nails show is phenomenal. And that 6-year-old man would get it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's also short.
Yeah, no, he's not tall.
Not a tall man.
He also dyes his hair.
Dyes it. He must sharpieing individual fucking beard little stubby bits.
Sticking them in.
Because I can't figure out how his beard is so short and so clearly dyed.
Yeah, he's clearly got like a good team.
He's got somebody fucking painting at his face every day.
Do you know what I like? And I don't care about men, but I will say this. There is this girl. Her videos always pop up on my Instagram, but I don't follow her. But she does like wigs for men, like hair pieces for men. Dude, she's amazing.
But there's so many people
the
that wore
shit she
wigs
can do.
Like years ago that you would never think of. Sean Connery.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Was wearing a wig in all of the Bonds.
That's crazy that he was fully bald.
You can't see that.
But yeah, like, but she does these hair pieces. And
how many of them a day do you do?
And they're fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like, the difference in it.
Are you just bringing this up because you think Trent is wearing a wig?
No. But just when you were talking about, like, the individual...
Because you know when people paint in their beard and they've got that weird line?
Yeah.
He doesn't have that.
He's got a good team.
And I said to Graham, Graham was like last night, because me and Graham were talking about it in depth. Graham was like, how's, because Graham's so great. And Graham was like, is he mascaring it? Like, is he mask? But I was like, but he's sweating so much on stage and it's not budging.
Come off.
I was like, and then I went through like, fucking, there's an entire, like, Reddit.
I've been like, what's going on with his beard?
Just being like, how does Trent Reznor keep his beard so black? And it definitely is dyed because it doesn't look natural.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
Because it's so significantly even.
The man is 60.
Yeah.
That beard is dyed. Yeah. Like, funny. Also, I find it so funny now. I can always tell when a male celebrity has had a hair transplant, but they're pretending that they didn't. Because they'll just turn up randomly one day with a shaved head.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name from
Harry Styles?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Brad Pitt.
What's his name from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, Dennis Reynolds.
He's fully had a hair transplant, yeah. And he's fully pretended that he did. Yeah. I mean, just embrace it. Who fucking cares?
And he was in that Blackberry movie.
I know, but
where he had to shave his head really odd.
No, he has a full. I can see because his hairline used to be there, and you can see them coming in. But
apparently, he's really, really intense. I listened to a podcast with the three of them.
Yeah, that was a lot of work.
The question was asked: how often have they like broken up or near broken? Mm-hmm. And Charlie and Rob were like, we've never, but like
he left.
Dennis has.
Yeah, he left, didn't he?
Yeah, but they were like
briefly.
Then he was like, yeah, no, I've broken up the band like four times.
He's an odd dude. Like I've listened to a couple of their podcasts and he's just really odd. And then when they say that they put things in the show that really happened, like that thing with the cereal.
What thing?
Remember the episode of It's Always Sunny Philadelphia where Dennis is eating the bowl of cereal in the car and he's jamming on the brake?
Yeah.
That really happened. Like he came into work one day covered in milk and they were like, what happened, Judy? He's like, I was eating a fucking bowl of cereal and jam on my brakes. Like stuff like that. When he's so good at that character. Like it's eerie. Oh. Like he's fucking so intense.
My favourite episode is when they move to the suburbs, which is that cereal episode.
So funny.
And
he goes, it's a hot one today. Yeah. Yeah.
You've been in the car with me.
Yeah,
I am this man. You fucking bitch. And then I'm like, hello.
You stupid fat bitch. Like, he's just so much. He's like, but I feel, and it's weird because the other two, like,
he's like, can you hear that beeping?
Yeah.
I heard it all along.
But like, the other two are, like, Charlie seems super kind of whatever, blasé about stuff. Like, he's just,
but, I do know, yeah.
But that guy is, what's it, Glenn Harrington? Like, he is so intense.
Is he?
So that's who he is. He plays down.
Oh, Glenn sorry. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But that's
because even that guy, Rob, is like.
But that's why they changed. They changed his name. Because he was like, I don't want to be linked to this character and name. Because he's clearly a crazy psychopathic rapist.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't want to be linked to this character. So they changed his name.
What's it he says when he's that? It's the implication.
He's an odd but he's so fucking good at it. I have to watch the new season's coming out now. There was a trailer on for the new season.
How many seasons is there, man?
18.
Jesus.
And you can,
do you remember when we started watching
the
show?
All in the plastic surgery in all of their faces.
Oh yeah, yeah. They've all except had Charlie, so much work.
Except Charlie and Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
They've all had.
Dee is insane looking.
Dee is, yeah, her face is. I don't know. Who are these surgeons and why are they doing this to these women?
Like,
don't stop doing this to these beautiful women. Like, you're fucking destroying their faces. It's mm-hmm. insane. Anyway, do what you
I went to see been... 28 years later.
28 years later.
With Graham.
Any news?
I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but there's a really funny bit in it where, because obviously the kid in the movie has been in this situation for 28 years. And a person comes to where he is that has access to a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
He's never seen a mobile phone. He doesn't know what the internet is and all of this. And the guy has a picture of his girlfriend and his girlfriend has like all of that filler and stuff.
Oh.
It's so funny. The kid is like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with her face? And he's like, what do you mean what's wrong with her face? And he was like, oh, I know what's wrong with her face. She has a shellfish allergy. But she just looks like a Kardashian. Like, it's really funny. Like, he's like, there's a girl on my island and she's a shellfish allergy just like her. Her lips get all swollen like that. Like,
but that is unfortunate.
Also, that movie's terrible. Don't waste your money.
Oh, no. It's not good at all.
There's part of it that's good. And then it just like immediately loses its way. But it's a three-parter. So it ends in a really odd way. I'm not going to give it out, but I'll tell you after.
Yeah, I do.
Because it ends in this way where you're like...
Is Killian in it?
No. He's apparently is going to play a very big part in the third one.
Ah, okay.
And in the second one, he'll appear, but he's not in it. He's not in it at all.
Okay.
Ralph Fiennes is in the first one. And then there is an alpha zombie who has the most...
John Dong.
Ginormous appendage.
Yeah, I heard he's hanging dong.
There's so many penises.
Oh, a lot of add-ons.
Yeah, because all of the zombies are naked.
Oh, okay, cool.
Graham kept calling.
Which I mean...
Oh, well, Graham was like... where's all her clothes gone? I said, hey, I asked that question about the Gremlins all the time and you tell me to shut up that it's a movie.
They were in a store where they could pick up clothes. They were living in a
store. What size baby store are the Gremlins, Emma?
A newborn baby?
No, newborn babies are not the size of Gremlins.
I could put a newborn baby dress on that.
Don't fight with me about this, man. We're talking about 8-inch dongs, right?
I could put it... See, I can't... That can't fit in a newborn baby dress.
No, it wouldn't stand on shoulders.
It would.
They don't have shoulders! Anyway,
I probably won't see it. I really did love
the first one.
The first one's
phenomenal. I just think the rest of them are unnecessary. And the whole point of the first one has like an actual message that is, it doesn't matter how terrible humanity is, humans will do shit to each other.
Yep.
That is 10 times worse. That's the point of the first movie.
Like, it's like, I was talking to Colin the other day and I was like, I was saying to him, I was like, would you be upset if there was like, if you woke or looked out the window and there was like a mushroom cloud? And he was like, yeah, this is, I wouldn't care.
Would you be like that?
I honestly wouldn't care. Like, I see a lot of people online at the moment because of everything that's happening in Iran and Israel. Oh my God, anyway, whatever, fuck the US and fuck Israel. And people are like, I'm so terrified. And I was like, oh, are you?
But I'm going to say something.
Go into the light, because that's where I go.
Do you think that's because here the threat isn't?
Maybe it's not as imminent. But
well, like, because you know, Iran have said openly and outwardly that they were like, we're going to start waking up sleeper cells of terrorists in the States.
But also, a lot of that is propaganda, which I would not pay attention to. Like, and because what the American government are currently doing, and all the Republican senators, is pushing the sleeper cell bullshit.
Oh yeah, no, but which, like, I mean,
they're not sleeper cells. They're actually American citizens who they're making go and do this stuff and then kill themselves, which is what the FBI is known to do. So a lot of that is bullshit. And I'm waiting for the first one because they're hoping that there's going to be one. So then they can be like, let's invade Iran. Like, literally, this is 2001. Yeah. All over again.
Yeah, we're going after mass wars.
We're all wearing baggy jeans and we're blowing up Iraq again, apparently.
It is nice to see that there are fantastic number of Americans this time around that are like,
don't do this.
This is terrible. This is bullshit. Like, whereas during Afghanistan, it was like,
but that's because 9/11 happened. That's what I mean when they're talking about this, like Anderson Cooper on CNN last night being like, there's going to be sleeper cells. Why don't you shut the fuck up, Anderson Cooper? You goddamn billionaire.
Stop celebrating.
Yeah. Stop. So his mother is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh, it is.
She's like a billionaire. They're like one of the first billionaires in the United States of America, the Vanderbilt family. Yeah. Anderson Cooper comes from billionaires.
Oh.
Walking around with walking around with a fucking AIPAC jersey on him.
I don't know what an AIPAC jersey is.
From the Israeli consulate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Walking around America with a fucking AIPAC jersey on him. He's a scumbag. He's on TV being like, yeah, guys, this is a really good idea. We definitely should have done this. Just watch out for the sleeper cells. Cool. So now what's going to start happening is Iranian people who have nothing to do with any of this are going to start getting attacked in the United States of America. Like, it's so funny that people don't think that this has been pre-planned.
Watch Cheech and Chong. Early Cheech and Chong is all about how much they hate Iranians.
They've been in the work for 20 years. Yeah. They know exactly what they were doing. He got a dumb enough president. Netanyahu was waiting for a dumb enough president to walk into the White House whose ego he could stroke enough.
Yeah.
And now he was like, he blew up everything. I was like, now we want peace. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're going to send children to war
to die,
slaughtered.
Yeah.
Iran are not fucking around. Anyway, we're in hell.
Here, I made friends with a guard.
I don't think you should tell the story.
Best pals. He told me, I'm going to tell you this.
ACOG.
I'm not going to tell you the thing. I'm going to tell you the thing he told me.
What?
He told me about, like, he listens to the podcast. Anyway, he was really, like, talking to me. I was like, about drug busts. And I was like, how do you do this? Like, how do you do that as a job? And I was like, so he's talking about this big drug bust that happened in Ballyferrin recently, where there were 7 sofas delivered to a furniture shop. And the guy in the furniture shop rang the local Garda station to be like, I didn't order these and they're really suspect. And the information for them to be delivered is just like a phone number.
So they just dropped them at this furniture shop.
And I rang the phone number and the guy was like, don't do anything to them. I'll be up and get them. And so the Garda in Ballyferrin police station were like, right, yeah, no, that does sound suspicious. Let us come. So when they got there, they were like, yeah, no, these don't look like, these look odd.
These are drug chairs.
So they cut them open and there was like,
Colombians pure
a half cooking. €1 million worth of like cannabis. And I was like, how did you not get the smell? And he was like, they do things to cover the smell, but he was like, also it's wrapped and they put process on it.
Don't they vacuum it as well? It's always like,
but he was like, I've seen some insane things to cover the smell of drugs. And I was like what? And then I was like, so horrified that I asked.
Did he say something dead
chopped up rats? Loads and loads and loads and loads of chopped up dead rats. And he was like, so it just smells like rotten flesh. I was like, what?
What's wrong with these cunts?
What?
Ah! Like, I will say this. I'm going to say something out loud.
I did say to the guard, why'd you listen?
Don't listen to us.
We're not singing your praises.
No. They need to legalise cannabis in this country. This is ridiculous.
It smells so bad.
It smells so bad. And I know it smells so bad. It's disgusting. It smells like horseshit. I hate it. But we need to start being realistic about this. If cigarettes and alcohol are legal in this country, they need to start legalising cannabis. Like
crack. Bring it back.
They need to bring back. Make it heroin legal. Ketamine. Everybody needs to go to school every day, get a bit of ketamine.
Yeah, but no, like, I don't disagree with you on
that. It is so dumb. Like, we've gotten to a point where it's like, this is ridiculous. Like, people are going, like, it's not, I mean, it's the same, a lot of the time it's the same buzz as, like, two cups of coffee. Like, it's a stimulant. You know what I mean? I don't smoke weed. I don't care about weed. I think it smells like shit. But, like, it's ridiculous at this point. It's fucking weed. I would rather be around someone that is smoking weed than someone who is smoking crack rocks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I would rather be in a room with someone that is super chill, giggling, and has the munchies than someone who is about 3 seconds away from getting up and getting a knife and cutting my throat.
Yeah, no, I witnessed something during the weekend. It was somebody very, very high on drugs, and I said to the Garda, I was like, it's unfortunate because they weren't on one of those drugs that makes them chill.
No.
They're on one of those drugs that makes them really fucking angry and incredibly volatile.
Yeah.
And also so incapable of managing themselves that if they did interact with someone, they would hurt them.
Like pure anger.
Pure anger. And the guard was like, yeah, like so that's awful. So, yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I just have like a weird relationship with drugs.
I completely understand that.
I don't have that relationship with any drug or even alcohol where I'm like, anybody that's doing it a lot, there isn't something wrong with it.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
And yeah, I do see, I am one of those like fucking losers that sees cannabis as a gateway drug.
I mean, yeah, you could say that. You could say cannabis is a gateway drug, but you could also make the argument about alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we still drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though you always like, I don't drink. I don't. She does. She does drink. Shut the fuck up. Like, so
I don't understand why you need to tear me down.
Because you get on this podcast and tell people you were drunk. And then the next episode you go, I don't drink.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
Stop it. Yes, you do. But like, yeah, it's just, I get it. Like, and I understand, especially when you grow up with something not being a positive thing in your life either. You can kind of be like, I hate this so much.
Yeah.
Obviously, like anything, if you do it too much, it becomes a dependency and you can't function properly. Mm. Like, but that's anything. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, Emma's here legalizing the weed.
I'll pay to you.
Legalize the green.
Delight free. I actually think you could get nominated for the next president if you went and just run on that.
I fully believe that.
Honestly.
I fully, also like with regards, like, you know, what it does for people with anxiety and sicknesses and cancer and things like that. You know, it does.
And glaucoma.
It does wonders for people. Like, we can't just ignore it. It does. But I don't know. I don't know why I brought this up. I don't know why I want to legalise weed all of a sudden.
I don't know. All of a sudden.
It's not going to be my new thing.
Yeah.
What do they call it? The green? Kush?
Whatever the kids call it.
I have no idea what they call it. What are the kids? Kids must have a name for them. For the
Kush.
The ganja.
Is it Kush?
Ganja.
If you call it ganja, I'll kill you. Call it something better than that. It's the worst.
What's it? There has to be like when they're like, I'm going out to smoke some whatever they're doing.
Right, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever the kids are calling it these days, everybody's going to be angry at you now because I said legalized weed.
Do you think people will be angry at you?
No, nobody cares.
I don't think anybody cares.
When you go to a country,
I don't even think guards care.
You go to New York and it's like everybody is high.
And it's everywhere.
Everybody
Las
is
Vegas.
High.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, everybody is high.
Mm.
Do you have any housekeeping?
No. Just say hello to my new guardie friend. Got two of them.
I just like to say it's Sarah's guardie friend, not Emma's guardie friend.
Very friendly person. No, I did say, like he did say to me, I was like, we're not particularly nice about you guys on the bat. And he was like, no, you've had some really bad incidents.
No, they're shit. Anyway.
And I was like, I was like, but also all the people that have been murdered and no one's been caught. But anyhow.
Thank you to everybody that has bought tickets to our live show on the 24th of July in the Laughter Lounge. We really appreciate it. We actually sold more than I thought we would sell, to be perfectly honest. I don't think we'd sell that many. I won't say. But we've sold enough that you should probably, if you want to come, start buying your tickets, because I don't think there's going to be that much left. So thank you to every single person that has bought tickets. We really, 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 really fucking appreciate it. And the Laughter Lounge won't kill us.
You're ready for this?
Can I shovel my shit as well?
Yes.
Hello, it's me again. So on the
what
6th...
song will I sing in the back of this?
It's the 9th of August.
Gotta be away.
I shat the bed with that one. Hold on, August. Let me just double check. Apologies, everybody. It's the 9th of August in the Sugar Club. I am screening a documentary called Something Better Change. It's Scott Crawford.
It's about free legalizing weed.
It's legalizing weed. It's about Scott Crawford's, not about Scott Crawford, it's Scott Crawford's new documentary. Scott Crawford made Salad Days, which I showed last year, which a lot of you came out to. Thank you so much. If any of you would like to come, I'd really appreciate it. You can just pop onto the Sugar Club website and you can buy tickets there.
What date is it?
The 6th of August in the Sugar Club, which is a Saturday, which I'm excited about because I've never done a Saturday before.
I'm not away on that day.
Oh yeah, you're going to fucking Morocco. Well, I don't know. I just feel like you should change that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I think you should have just not booked it on that date.
Oh, well, I didn't realise, to be perfectly honest.
You fucking stupid bitch. She was like, I would never do it when you're not here. Oh, and actually, then she puts it in the fucking chat.
It's not the 6th. Sorry, guys. It is not the 6th. It's the 9th of August.
Gotta be away.
I shat the bed with that one. Hold on. August. Let me just double check. Apologies, everybody. It's the 9th of August, which is a Saturday. I'm showing the movie. Scott's going to be there. He's coming to Ireland for the first time ever. He's very excited.
First time ever?
Yeah, he's never been to Ireland before. His kids were actually in Ireland last month, I think, but he has never been. So if you'd like to come, I would love it. My friend Eva's going to make a cake. We'll have cake. And I'll give you all a hug. And that's all I've got. Do you have anything else?
No, I just like to say, everybody go support Emma. She's doing amazing things and the documentary is going to be amazing.
What's in here?
And Scott is there to answer loads of questions. So go. Also, is there cake?
Can I have one of these?
Yeah. Is there cake?
There's going to be cake. My lovely friend Eve is going to make a cake. Our lovely friend Eve. We've got to make a cake for the Mary
Harper.
No, I kind of just want one.
Emma's just eating Rennie for the sake
she's
of eating
a Rennie. Kind of nice.
You're fucking weirdo.
Kind of nice. I like the spearmint. Peppermint.
Oh, I do like Rennie.
That's
fine. Eve is making a cake. She made a cake for the Mary Wallopers.
Mary Wallopers, she did.
And she's amazing. And she made a cake for the last event. And she the last event
fucking delicious.
Was great. It was so good. And that was with Scott dialing in and taking questions. This time he's going to be there in person. And if you're not into hardcore music, it's not about hardcore music, so don't feel like you can't go. And I brought people with me last time that had never heard any hardcore music and they had a great time.
Oh, thanks Sarah Jane.
So everybody should go. And if I was in this country and not in fucking Morocco illegally bringing in weed,
this is the start of
weed
it.
Capital of the world.
Yeah, we're sending over 7 catches.
That guard was giving me loads of advice how to get it back in without anybody smelling it. Dead rats,
just
apparently.
Chop up some dead rats. But yeah, thank you so much everybody once again for coming to our for buying tickets for our live show. We really appreciate it. Thank you to everyone that continues to support us on the Patreon. We love you. And I think that's it.
Murder Most Irish is returning to the Laughter Lounge Thursday, 24th of July, 2025. Following on from our Laughter Lounge debut last August, we are delighted to bring our live show to Dublin's legendary home of laughter. Join Sarah Jane, Emma, and me, Colin, for a live true crime podcasting experience like no other, including in-depth discussions on various cases from Ireland, a questions and answers session, and as much entertainment as I can possibly provide. We would be delighted to see all of your lovely faces there. Doors open at 7 o'clock, show starts at 8. Murder Most Irish, live at the Laughter Lounge. Tickets available from www.laughterlounge.ie.
Sorry, Colin. It's fine now.
Suck it.
Suck several dicks. Okay, so this week is a two-parter.
Suck several dicks. But you have to leave that bit in, Colin.
Leave it in, Colin. Also, when I tell you there are trigger warnings.
Trigger to trigger?
Sweet Jesus. Trigger warnings for domestic abuse. There are trigger warnings for sexual abuse and rape. There are trigger warnings for domestic abuse to a child, sexual abuse and rape to a child. There are trigger warnings for very, very, very violent acts. But just there's a lot of mentions of very, very violent sexual abuse. So I'm not detailing it, but it just it is. And if that's something that you don't want to hear, Please skip to the end because I don't want to upset anybody. So
why is it two per?
Because I want to do the court case next week. But the court case is really long. It's really, really long.
It better be long.
Because I don't want... Because I get bored. I know that's terrible. That's terrible.
You get bored doing the court
case? I get bored doing the court case with the actual case.
No, I get that.
I get really bored.
I get bored. Whereas when I get bored doing the whole thing.
When I like...
I want to quit.
I like doing the court case separately because... Court case... The thing about the court case is there's so much information. There's a fucking shit ton of information, especially on this case, because it was quite... I don't remember it because I think I might have been too young.
Mm.
You might remember it. But this week I'm going to be covering the murder of Derek Benson.
A man?
A man. But wait till you hear. So I have all my references listed because there's so many of them. They'll be listed at the end of the show notes just because there's 7,000 of them and there's even more for the court case. So, yeah, as I mentioned, massive, massive, massive trigger warnings. Please don't listen to this if it's something that will upset you because I don't
right, I'll just leave now,
get it. Get the fuck out. I'll just make a little voice thing of you. Be like, huh, no way. That's crazy. Fuck her.
Be like, what? Sorry, explain that again.
Sarah, what was that?
I have to say all the things. Jesus.
So yeah, here we go. So George Stringer darted awake from his sleep on Saturday the 14th of May 2000. He thought he may have been having a bad dream where he could hear someone screaming, but as he sat up in bed, the screaming was very loud and very real. George got out of bed in his flat, which is situated on Sandy Hill Avenue in Ballymun, County Dublin. I think Sarah Jane has explained Ballymun to people before. 2000, would they still have been high-rises?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're generally just high-rise flats that were in a place called Ballymun in County Dublin, and it was very much neglected, not protected by anybody, just a very, very sad circumstances. They have knocked them since, but a lot of bad shit happened there. But also a lot of amazing communities and amazing people that were ignored and forgotten about by the government. He thought the screaming was coming from upstairs, but when he looked out the window, he saw two fire brigade trucks, Garda cars and an ambulance. George watched as firefighters entered and exited the apartment. He knew the tenant who lived there. Her name was Jackie Noble. He hoped she was safe and that nobody had been hurt. The truth, however, would be much more sinister and much more violent. So when she was 16 years old, Jackie Noble met 15-year-old Derek Benson. The two began dating and the relationship became serious very quickly. Jackie's parents did not approve of Derek. They were worried about his violent streak. Jackie told her parents 6 months into her relationship with Derek that on Halloween night he had kicked her so hard in the face he gave her a black eye. He was 15.
What the fuck?
15. Like, that's insane. When Jackie fell pregnant a number of months later, Jackie's mother implored her daughter to seek an abortion as they didn't want her tied to Derek in any way. They pleaded with Jackie to leave Derek, but she stayed, and for 20 years she was subjected to physical, emotional and sexual abuse. So she had an abortion, she didn't have that baby, but she did end up getting pregnant again. So Jackie spent her teenage years and early 20s in a life of habitual abuse. Derek, who was now a known drug dealer and subsequent heroin addict in Dublin, controlled Jackie not only emotionally and physically, but she was now addicted to heroin and depended on him to bring the supply of the drug into the house. Benson would tie Jackie to a chair and threaten her with knives whilst wearing balaclavas. He would then beat her, urinate on her and violently rape her.
What?
The physical and sexual abuse continued and Jackie did not leave. She feared Derek would kill her or her family if she did. This man was a psychopath.
He used to tie her to a chair
or tie her to her bed, and he would like wear a balaclava and be like threatening her with a knife, and then he would like beat her, urinate on her and then rape her. This was constant, and she was addicted to heroin and he was addicted to heroin and she couldn't get away from him. It's horrific. At age 25, Jackie fell pregnant once more. This time she decided to keep the baby, and in 1987, Jackie's daughter Kelly was born. Almost immediately, Derek began abusing Kelly, physically assaulting her and making her watch as he beat her mother. Jackie alleged that he would also rape her orally and anally in front of Kelly.
What the fuck?
When Kelly was 5 years old, the principal of her school made a phone call to Jackie. He was concerned about her behaviour. There was an underlying degree of worry that Kelly was being sexually abused by Derek.
At five?
Jackie took her daughter to Temple Street Hospital for assessment. During an examination, there were signs of abuse found and the Gardaí were contacted. So not to be graphic, but they told Jackie she had been penetrated.
At 5 years of age.
This is horrific, this case.
I hope this cunt rots it.
Jackie, however, withdrew the complaint against Benson following a threat he made against Kelly. Benson told Jackie that if she ever tried to leave him, that he would cut Kelly up in front of her and then murder Jackie too. And Jackie knew he meant it. As Kelly reached her teenage years, Benson's control and abuse worsened. He would make his daughter administer heroin to him and sit with her
while she did drugs. Oh, I know this story. I do know this story.
He also forced her to start selling drugs in the area for him. So Jackie watched as Benson slowly ruined their daughter's life the way he had ruined hers. The violence continued and worsened. Jackie called the Gardaí numerous times, but each time Benson would be released and come back to their home. In 1997, she found Benson in Kelly's bedroom beating her. Jackie called the Gardaí and they came and arrested him. She then got a barring order, but Benson broke this. And when the Gardaí arrived, he assaulted a female officer named Garda Sinead McGee. When McGee arrested Benson, he attempted to throw her down the stairs. She brought him to the district court, and it was here, as he signed a bail bond, he told Garda McGee, quote, "I guarantee you I'll be back in Jackie Noble's flat tonight and she won't be making a complaint." Garda McGee brought him straight back to the district court, where she informed the judge of what Benson had said. His bail was immediately revoked and he received a 6-month sentence.
So he went to prison?
Yeah, 6 months.
6 months?
But he didn't do 6 months. He was out in like 4. Jackie's parents were aware of Benson's volatile nature. On the day of Kelly's christening, Benson had gotten very drunk. He then smashed the windows of Jackie's parents' home and bit her father so deeply on the back, the scars remained for years. Psychopath. Psychopath. Absolutely insane. Like, within a short time of each other, Jackie's parents both passed away. Jackie was devastated that the only piece of normalcy she had was gone, but her father left the family home to her. Jackie used the house as a safe space, travelling to and from it when she needed reprieve. But this never lasted too long, as Benson would always make her come back to their home. Following Jackie's father's passing, as well as leaving their home, Jackie was to be left an inheritance. Benson knew this and told Jackie that he would be taking the money to buy her motorcycle and an apartment. So he was like, "I'm taking your money." And the fucked up thing about it is, she knew he would, and she didn't know how to stop it. Like, this level of abuse, this, you are a shell. Like, you're not a human. You're just, you're existing. You're not living. You're just waking up in the morning and existing. Like, this man destroyed her and their daughter. Like, from day one. 5 years old, he was, like, sexually abusing his child. I hope he's in hell, if there is one. Jackie was at her wit's end. Although she now had her parents' house to stay in, Benson was still being abusive and controlling. Jackie also had reason to believe Benson had brought a 13-year-old child back to their home when she wasn't there and had slept with her. This distressed Jackie greatly, as she knew Benson was also making Kelly sleep in his bed with him. In 1996, Jackie had made an acquaintance with a 21-year-old named Paul Hopkins. Paul was a bouncer on the door of a local pub, and Jackie had met him through selling Paul's brother, Michael, a heroin substitute. The two became friends, and Jackie told him about the abuses she and her daughter had suffered at the hands of Derek Benson. Hopkins sympathised, and he had his own reasons for disliking Benson. Paul alleged that over a number of years, Benson had threatened him. Benson told Paul he would, quote, "burn out his girlfriend and baby daughter after he was, quote, finished with them." Paul took these threats seriously, as he knew how violent and volatile Derek Benson was. Paul was aware of the sexual abuse allegations that Benson had over him, and that he knew he was insinuating that he would rape Paul's daughter and his wife and his partner. So when he was like, "when I'm finished with them," he was like, "that means I'm going to rape my partner and my kid." Jackie felt trapped and terrified. The abuse would not stop. She knew Benson was going to take her inheritance one way or another, and she felt that maybe the only way of solving this was to either incapacitate Derek Benson or have rid of him completely. So Jackie made her mind up, and in 2000 she found someone willing to rid her of Derek Benson forever. She met a man from the north of Ireland who was willing to shoot Derek. Jackie paid him £500. However, Jackie said, quote, "he fucked off with the money and nothing came of it." Desperate, she spoke to another man who told Jackie he would give Benson, quote, "a bad dose of heroin," but this fell through as well. So Jackie turned to Paul. They both had something to gain from Benson not being around anymore. Jackie's abuse would stop. Her daughter's abuse would stop. She could try and live a good life with the money her father had left her. Paul could live without the fear of Benson harming him or his family, and Jackie promised to pay him £3,000 to £5,000 if he could do what she needed. Jackie then paid Paul £200, telling him he would receive the rest when the job was done. Jackie alleged that she told Paul Hopkins that an assault would be enough, maybe to leave Benson wheelchair bound so she could escape and he couldn't cause harm anymore. So she says that she told Paul Hopkins not to kill him, to just like beat him okay. to the point where he couldn't actually do anything and he couldn't come after her or her daughter. That's what she alleged.
But then you'd be able to name.
That's what I thought. There's a lot of holes in this. Like, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know, unfortunately, Jackie's daughter went down a very dark path. And it's next week I'll tell you about what happened to her. But when you see what happened to her, it's the textbook of a child that's been abused. Like, the path that she chose and the things that she did. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So the two devised a plan. Jackie knew that Benson would be getting dental surgery in the next few weeks. This meant he would be recuperating in the flat. Jackie decided that this was the perfect time to drug Benson, leaving him incapacitated. Paul would then give Jackie a Nokia phone, and as soon as Benson passed out, Jackie was to call Paul, wait until he came over, let him in, and then she would leave, going to her parents' home. Paul would then carry out the assault on Derek Benson. At 9 p.m. on the 13th of May, Jackie went to Benson's flat. He was in bed recovering from the surgery, just as Jackie expected. She sat on his bed with him and they watched a movie. She then went downstairs, made Benson a cup of coffee and laced it with sleeping pills. She stayed as Benson drank the coffee and gradually he began slipping under. At 1 a.m. she made the call to Paul Hopkins. Moments later he arrived. The two didn't speak. Jackie opened the door, Paul walked in and she made her way to her parents' home. 2 hours later, at 3 a.m, Jackie's mobile phone rang. It was her neighbour, Claire Keeley, from the flat on Sandy Hill Avenue. When Jackie answered, Claire sounded panicked. The flat is on fire, she told Jackie. The fire brigades are here. Jackie said her blood ran cold and that she felt sick. She didn't want Derek to die. She didn't want Paul to kill him, but now she feared the worst.
Why didn't she want Derek to die?
Because she said...
I want Derek to die.
Yeah, she said she didn't want him to die. She just wanted him incapacitated. Here's the thing. If she did want him to die, I get it.
Hmm.
I'd be like, yeah, I get it.
I understand. Like, I get why you want this man dead. I don't think it's like that you want them to die. But everything you've tried, you've gone to the police, you've followed all the law.
Nothing's working.
He isn't going away. He keeps coming back. You can't be rid of him.
Yeah.
Your daughter is being violently assaulted and raped.
Yeah.
Like, if this was a case where she was like, my only option was for him to die.
Like, you know, and I know it's...
Is that terrible? Are we terrible?
No, people? But here's the thing, Sarah Jane. Like, this level of abuse... Like, it's like that... I don't know if you remember that lady in England who murdered her husband after...
With the sugar water?
No. It was another lady. She has... I think she's got 3 children, but she murdered her husband after, like, something like 40 years of abuse.
Yeah, I do know that lady.
And, like, he destroyed her. Her brain wasn't even functioning. The abuse was so bad. And her kids are like...
Yeah,
we don't care.
But I watched that documentary on Netflix of the women who are. It's like a female prison in America. There's this woman who like was like, yeah, I shot my husband, and
was that the lady that he was abusing the children?
Yeah, and daughters? She was like, the only thing I regret is she's like, I regret that I didn't get away from him before this bit. But she was like, I would do it again.
Yeah, I get it.
And
I know,
and she's like, the only thing that prison has given me a sense of freedom,
yeah. away from horrific, constant horrific abuse, like, yeah. You know. And I know we say these things, and then in another episode we'd be like, you shouldn't kill anybody; it's wrong and it's bad. I'm not saying that anybody should be being killed. What I am saying is, as a human being, I could understand where she'd be like, I want this motherfucker dead. I can't do this anymore.
I would understand getting to that point.
Yeah. Where you're like, I can't get away from him.
Like, yeah, like, I would understand if something happened to Lily.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, no, I will kill you.
I will kill you.
Yeah. Like, I understand that. That's wrong.
No, we are aware that it's wrong.
I understand
wrong.
That I should let justice take its course. But in this case, justice didn't seem to be working.
And she had been hospitalised. I'll talk about this next week. But she had been hospitalised numerous times. She's gotten barring orders against him. Like, he tried to fuck a bank guard down a set of stairs.
And said to the banker, I'll be back.
Yeah. He's fucking psychopath. Men. Where was I? Okay. When the fire brigade arrived at the scene, they met with Claire Keeley, who had called to let them know that a flat on the second floor was on fire. Three engines were dispatched and two ambulances followed suit. There was a crowd of worried-looking faces gathered outside the building, and when the firefighters entered the property, they were met with thick, black smoke. As one crew battled the flames, the second crew made their way around the property. When they entered the master bedroom, they discovered a body on the bed. The fire was subdued, and the firefighters called the first responders to the room. Their belief was that the man had perished in the fire. However, this would be quickly proven wrong when it was realised that there was massive amounts of blood all over the bedroom. The man's body was also covered in blood, and there were clear and brutal signs of trauma. The Gardaí were called and Derek Benson was taken to the Maher Hospital. He was pronounced dead on arrival. A murder investigation was opened immediately, and within 24 hours, 50 members of the Gardaí were assigned to the case. As they patrolled the area and spoke to the locals, state pathologist Mary Cassidy carried out Derek Benson's autopsy. So this is a list of the injuries on his body. Try and guess what did this.
Okay.
So this is from Liz Walsh in the Irish Independent. This is just verbatim. Benson had been stabbed 25 times and that some of these wounds went through the body from front to back. In addition, he sustained 60 cutting or incised wounds extending from his head to his toes. The deceased sustained a total of 17 wounds to the head and neck. One of these was a gaping wound to the neck, which cut through the cervical spine. Dr. Cassidy said there was a slicing or hacking injury, as if an attempt to decapitate the victim. She also noted a number of wounds to the scalp, face and ears, some of which extended from the face to the ear. Outlining the injuries to the trunk of the body, Dr. Cassidy said there were 12 stab wounds to the front of the chest and 13 to the back. Seven of those were through and through, from the front of the chest to the back, so right through. On the legs, she noted two through and through wounds on the right and left leg, in addition to 16 incised or cutting wounds. The deceased's right kidney, lung, liver, spleen and aorta were punctured, and this internal damage corresponded to the external stab wounds. Dr. Cassidy said that a number of the cuts to the forearms and palms were consistent with defensive type injuries, so he woke up. The multiple injuries suffered by Mr. Benson were consistent with a sustained and vicious assault. Asked to conclude the cause of death, she replied, multiple stab, incise and cutting injuries to the head, trunk and limbs. Dr. Cassidy said that the toxicology tests carried out on the deceased showed a level of the heroin substitute methadone in addition to sleeping tablets and Valium, a tranquilizer. These drugs would have had a culminated sedative effect. So what do you think did that?
Like a machete? A sword? Yeah.
So this is where I'm like, if somebody said to you, say you're a killer, you.
Yeah.
Somebody said to you, hey, I want to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
We're in the Dublin, we are part of the Dublin gangland culture because we're drug dealers.
This is 2015.
This is the year 2000, right?
Yeah, no, we're not. We don't even go stand.
But not even guns. A sword.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is like, almost like he panicked and bought a sword. I was like, I don't know what else to buy.
Well, it sounds like he probably had a sword.
No, he bought the sword.
Oh.
This is what I'm like, he paid £50 for a sword. This is where I am like, of all the things, like he could have just got a knife.
And slit his throat.
But he went in there with a full blown fucking sword. Like a Jedi, like a fucking ninja. This whole thing is so baffling to me because this man clearly did not know what he was doing.
Well, obviously.
Like, and
By the sounds of it, he did not know what he was doing, but couldn't stop himself.
Couldn't stop himself. Like, but obviously Derek woke up because there was defensive wounds.
Yeah, but so even with defensive wounds, he went on to like, he severed his aorta, yeah, his kidney.
He sliced his legs. He went like
near decapitating like him. He attempted to hack off his head.
It's just the most bizarre weapon. He could have went downstairs and got a knife out of the kitchen cupboard. Instead, he went out and paid £50 for a sword.
Yeah.
The whole thing, but then the other, but no, he wasn't. See, think about this Paul Hopkins guy. He wasn't on drugs. He was a recovered drug addict. So it's kind of like, if he had been on something, you'd be kind of like, yeah, of course he went and bought a sword. Do you know what? The whole thing, I don't know. Anyway, Oh, Benson's death had been violent and frenzied. Whoever had attacked him wanted him dead. Benson was known to the Gardaí as a small-time drug dealer, and they believed that his murder may have been related to this. However, 4 days later, on May 17th, Jackie Benson walked through the doors of Santry Garda Station. She asked to speak to the detective in charge of Derek Benson's case. She was brought into her room, where she began to shake and tears fell from her eyes. She told them she knew what happened to Derek.
She fessed up.
But she knew who killed him. Jackie told them everything, detailing her years of abuse at the hands of Benson, her daughter's physical and sexual abuse, and how she just couldn't live like that anymore. She told them she didn't mean for Derek to die. She just wanted him to be able to get away from him. She told them they needed to find Paul Hopkins. She's a dirty rat like you. She's a dirty rat like you. That's a joke. That's a joke, by the way. She's not a dirty rat.
I am a dirty rat.
Sarah's dirty rat.
Fucking rat, all you bastards.
So she stood up, walked out of the Garda station without being charged.
Oh.
Because I don't know.
Maybe they didn't believe her.
If they believed her.
Could you, would you be able to keep that secret?
No. I would. My eyes would start bleeding. Immediately. Like some weird shit, my teeth would be like, blood would be like coming out of my mouth. I would not be able to keep that. I feel guilty over everything. So I there's don't. Like, I feel guilty over
I wish I did. Sometimes I think back on things I've done.
Like maybe I should. Have I should a little bit. Maybe empathy sociopath. Should be a thing. Like, but yeah, no, I feel guilty over everything. Like I texted Aoife on Saturday and I felt so fucking guilty about something at work. I just felt so bad. I even this morning I was
wait,
like,
what did she do?
No, she had to tell me something, but like she forgot to tell me. And then I was like, I'm fucking texting her at the weekend. And like she came in this morning, I was like, I'm so sorry about that. And she was like, it's fine. But I was thinking about it constantly. I was like, I can't believe I had to text her. That's so dumb.
Are you going to your therapist more than once a week?
I need to move into the scaff.
I need to go to therapy too. I need to be like, hey, listen, I don't feel anything.
There's nothing.
Any of the bad stuff I've done, I think was legit. And,
honestly, I was right and they were wrong.
And I think that everyone I've done it to deserved it.
So Jackie stood up and walked out of the Garda station without being charged. She hailed a taxi to St. Vincent's Psychiatric Hospital and signed herself in.
Oh.
Mm. The Garda then began their hunt for Paul Hopkins. So that is part one. Next week, we're going to talk about the court case. We're also going to talk about Jackie's daughter, Kelly, which is a desperately, desperately sad story. And we're going to talk about Paul Hopkins as well. So that's going to be next week. But it's just because when I was researching this, obviously, because I was Googling her, her daughter's name came up. It's fucking horrible.
What happened there?
It's just sad. I'll talk about it next week. But like, it's awful. And it shows that like, the level of harm that is done to children, and they don't know how to deal with it. Like, so her mum obviously was arrested for this crime. Her dad was dead, so she was immediately put into care. And then obviously you know how that goes. So, but yeah, next week we'll talk about that. And yeah, I just, as I said, this is incredibly graphic. I have some helplines to put at the end of this episode as well, because I know some people can get really upset about these things, and I don't mean to upset anybody. I just... Also, I kind of wanted to do this case, and maybe this is a petty thing on my side. I think it is a petty thing on my side. But if I hear one more time about how the women of Ireland aren't safe because of immigrants, I'm going to buy a sword. And I'm going to do something. Because I can't listen to this anymore. Because you bitches don't give a fuck about Irish women. Because when Irish women are being raped and murdered by Irish men... You will get on the internet and say they're lying and they probably caused it. And women tell these lies to ruin men's lives. But when there's a man with brown skin doing it, all of a sudden it's protect Irish women. So kind of petty on my end, but I'm just like, you bitches don't talk about any of these cases because it doesn't suit your fucking agenda.
Mm.
To the people of Ballymena, to the immigrants of Ballymena, I am so sorry what happened to you. I am so sorry it's continuing to happen. I am so sorry that our country is so infested with the fucking Brits that they're so mind-numbingly dumb that they think they're British. A, you're not, you're Irish. And B, that they're like putting up Union Jacks in their window being like, don't attack here, Brits.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't anymore. You people are so fucking dumb. Mm. And I, like, a girl, there was a girl, they interviewed a girl in Ballymena the other day and she made some very fucking valid points. And I understood and I had to kind of step back and go, she's actually correct. She's actually correct in what she's saying. I might not agree with everything she's saying, but But she is making valid points where she was saying, like, she's so terrified for her community because the young people that are doing these awful things don't understand the damage they are doing to themselves. She was like, in 4 or 5 years' time, when they try to get a job, they have a criminal record because some idiot on the internet told them brown people are raping children, mm-hmm. and they believed them and went out and burned their gas down. She was like, so everybody's being destroyed because of this, not just the people that are having their houses burned down, but the people who are doing it, which is a very, very valid point.
I also think sometimes people have severe, like, sociopathic tendencies and use these types of things as an excuse. I mean, that woman is right, and when you come from like a socioeconomic background in terms of like living and like social housing or those types of areas, you see people get wrapped up in the dumbest shit,
yeah,
because they're not educated, because they don't have access to things, because they don't have money, they don't have a father figure, they don't have a mother figure, they don't have anybody watching out for them, they're vulnerable. All of those things are true, but none of them make up for calling someone the N-word and lighting their house on fire with their kids in it.
Yeah.
And that's the bit I can't get past, because I grew up in an estate where I had no money. I grew up in an estate where it was difficult to get to school. I grew up with a family that at times I wouldn't say were the best role models, and that I would be considered vulnerable. And I don't call people the N-word, and I don't think people of colour are here taking my housing and taking my jobs and taking my, or raping my children, or in any way a threat to my children. I think the white scumbag that grew up in the estate I live in is the person I'm crossing the road to avoid, and that I'm more afraid of my kid interacting with them than I am of any immigrant that's living next door to me.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I know people would be annoyed at this, and I get why you're annoyed at it, but sometimes I think the problem here is
you don't live here.
You don't understand. You don't get it.
And you're making excuses for something that you don't think you're not a part of.
You don't get it.
Because it's easier to say, oh, those poor people, their life must be so difficult and so hard, so therefore we need to make an excuse for this activity they're doing. No, sorry. No.
No.
There are people who live here who are bad people. And because they don't have access to education and don't have access to, it wouldn't be any better. They would still be bad people. They would just do it in a different format.
Like
they would be smarter at hiding it.
Like to turn around and say to somebody who got a petrol bomb put through the window and their entire house burned down,
oh, they don't have a swimming pool in their area. Yeah. So therefore, like,
while he's asleep on the couch and his child and wife are upstairs and his dog is killed, to turn around and say the reason that that happened is because of socioeconomic reasons and we should feel bad for them, you are absolutely out of your fucking mind. Yeah. You cannot turn around and say to somebody that has experienced that level of trauma that they should understand. Like, absolutely, there is a level of that where that those sort of behaviours come from a specific thing. But there also needs to be a bit of like personal responsibility here. Like, you can't turn around and say to somebody that has, I've been on public transport before with Colin, and I've had people start on Colin and Craig and call them the F word and stuff like that. And I'm not going to sit there and go, hey guys, maybe we should sit down. I'm not going to, what's that movie with Michelle Pfeiffer? Dangerous Minds. I'm not going to Dangerous Minds these kids. I'm not going to start like rapping and turn my chair around. I'm going to be like, get the fuck off the bush, you little scumbag.
Yeah, no, that's liberal like, nonsense.
It's just liberal fucking nonsense. And we're not living, you're not, you, these people on their soapboxes outside Portobello being like, hey guys, I think we should be more understanding. You don't fucking live in Ballyfermot. You don't know what this is. And it's not like we're in the fucking, but like, you don't live here. You don't. I love
the way you're like, it's not like we're in, it's just fucking junky. Taking crack in front of my kid the other day.
This is what I'm talking about. And then you're meant to feel bad when you're like, maybe she should be taking crack in front of my kid.
And unbelievably volatile that I was afraid that if anyone interacted with her.
Yeah, I know.
And the guard was like, she carries stuff to assault people.
Okay.
Right. Don't interact with her, Sarah Jane.
Well, that was that. We solved all the world's problems.
Anyway, that's
if anyone sees the mushroom cloud, just know I'm delighted.
Yeah, Emma's probably the one that set it off.
I'm walking into it like this. With my arms out wide like Creed. Like, with arms wide open. I'm walking right into that mushroom cloud. I'll say, let the good Lord take me.
I would love a cream cake.
Like what type of cream cake? Like a from Taste Treats?
Yes.
And then do you know what you'll do the entire night? Oh, I'm going to go shit. Oh, my stomach's sick. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning puking.
Yeah, well, I don't moan like that about it. I just tell you the next day. I don't text you all through the night being like,
oh.
And I usually don't lie to her fucking like a fucking shaking dog. I usually get on with it. You've actually painted me in a terrible light, and of all the things you've said to me,
to be perfectly honest, that's exactly what Sarah Jane is.
That's the most.
And that's
offensive.
Why you would tell me immediately if you bought a cream cake and it made you shit. I would get that text message within seconds.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't be like all night texting you.
You say, oh.
Actually, I did text her from a Chinese restaurant today, and I said
it was a stream of texts.
I said toilet situation was dire.
Was it like a little toilet?
No, so the toilet was not secured to the floor.
Oh, it was one of the rocky ones.
Nor was it secured to the wall.
Oh fuck! Okay.
And it was just kind of in the middle of the cubicle, and the cubicle was too small for it to be in the middle of the cubicle. So my knees are in the door and I couldn't lock the door. And then I could also hear the kitchen behind me. And they were speaking like pink Cantonese.
Yeah.
But they were, I can tell you, I don't speak Cantonese, but I could tell somebody was in trouble. Like,
roaring.
Oh my God, I could tell he was like, you fucking stupid cunt. In there ordering your fucking duck of black bean.
Poor Sarah G.
It was delicious, but the food was fabulous.
It looked really good.
And the staff were lovely, even though they were in the kitchen killing each other. But the toilet situation just made me laugh so much. Kelly was
dire.
Like, I'd done this thing where they had like this weird random Lenovo computer in the middle of the kitchen, in the middle of the restaurant.
Ooh.
That was honestly from 1996.
Was it?
Do you remember those Lenovo like computers that were like, it was like one of the first ones where it was like a flat screen, but it wasn't flat.
Oh,
it was big tick,
yeah, it's big tick.
And it had that big lump on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of them, and I just unplugged it and plugged my phone into the chair.
Sarah Jane! Jesus Christ!
I was like, this thing.
The whole shit restaurant just
couldn't
shuts down.
Possibly be worth me doing anything. So I just was like, and I just left it there on that table and went to the poo.
You don't give a fuck.
I could not give a
I
fuck.
I know. I wish I was more like that. I'd be like, sorry, can you skip here? Sorry, can you skip here? It's okay, please skip here. Sorry.
I was like, and it was filthy.
Ugh. But I bet the food was delicious.
Still left there.
No, I bet the food was delicious.
And I didn't throw up.
Good woman. Well done.
Thanks.
Too busy shitting
and
it out of your body.
I haven't taken any motion sickness tablets.
That's because you got those fixed,
yeah.
And you got that
blood pressure fixed. Anyway, that's the end of this week's episode,
everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We went on a lot of rants, a lot of good times, a lot of fun times, a lot of
I don't
talk
know
about
the
death.
Beginning was hard.
It's all hard.
Beginning was tough. Emma is really like, if Emma's therapist listens to this,
she doesn't,
could you give her a couple of free sessions?
Come and live in my house just for like a week. We'll make like a
good that you've stopped
a reality television show.
I don't know how long this stopping fighting on the internet is going.
I'm doing good. I'm not fighting anymore. I felt bad because one of Colin's friends was like, Emma came in like Stone Cold Steve Austin into a comment section the other day, and I was like, I need to stop this.
Was that Niler?
Yeah, I was like, I need to stop this. But they're so dumb. I'm like, you're so dumb. But that's not helpful.
Well,
who's
not,
that helping? Nobody.
It's not helping you.
And they don't care. They're never going to change their minds. But I do like insulting them.
I like watching. I love watching you insult them.
I do
them.
Like when they get real mad.
Here, our friend Kelly was talking about doing a WhatsApp group. Did you hear about this? Have you heard about this? Do you see this thing?
Oh, where she like, we get a number and people can text in stuff.
I don't
I
know if
figure
that
out.
That. Kelly said she'd figure it out.
Okay, Kelly's going to figure it out. Our
She's a
Kelly's
tech person.
Kelly's going to sort
so
this
anyway,
situation
for she
first.
Was like, almost like agony and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Mine will just be shut it down.
Someone's going to start sending dick pics immediately.
Oh, please send dick pics.
If you send dick pics, I'm putting them online. I don't care if I'm done for revenge
I think
porn.
That's actually
I don't care.
The law.
You send me a dick pic, it's going online. Which full name? And phone number. So...
Well, but we won't have their full name and
phone
number.
Phone number.
How?
Because the phone number will come through on WhatsApp.
I know, yeah, but we won't. It could be a burner.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
I'll burn them. Your number's going up online with a picture of your penis. Right out of 10. They will all be zero. And I won't do it. And that's just going to happen.
Please send us dick pics and
Sarah, I do not want to see anybody's penis. I don't want to see anybody's penis. Their little hamster in their hand.
Call this episode, I don't want to see anybody's penis.
I do not want to see anybody's penis. Do you know what? Actually, I'll tell you in a second. We'll go. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much.
No, I'll tell you.
Thank you, everybody. We will talk to you next week. Say goodbye.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.
Colin's going to be mad at me because he's sick. I'll go in.
Podcast for the crack, Irish history, murder, mystery, man, I've got to go. Make it 60 minutes long, then let Colin sing a song. Hop it up on Spotify and hope it doesn't flow. Research is a load of piss. Sarah, talk about your kid. Colin, cover up the cracks with some funny sound effects. Why are people listening? Flood some merch, we're catching it.